Hi there, and welcome to this, the 40th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. In this episode, we're continuing a conversation we had had a few episodes ago about people being newly diagnosed, and even if you've lived with the disease for 20 plus years, you feel like you are newly diagnosed, but we wanted to get the perspective of a person who truly is newly diagnosed, and we are excited to welcome our friend, Louis Preciado. He's joining us from San Antonio, and Louis, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yay. Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing your story with us. And because we have talked about how we were diagnosed a million years ago, what would you mind telling us about your diagnosis?
Yes. So, okay. All right. So it's pretty short compared to most people's, but for me, it did feel long. So I actually was with my cousin at one of her bike races, and it was nighttime, and I had noticed my eyes were having trouble focusing on my feet, and I just figured I'd been working too much. I'm on the computer all day. The next morning, I actually woke up around 3 or 4 with double vision, was super dizzy, everything. And from that moment, I knew something was wrong, but I played it off to my computer work. It didn't go away it ended up staying like that for months. But I had seen 3 different eye doctors. The third one finally said I'm concerned. I want you to have some MRIs done. What's your doctor's number? I'm going to call him. And she said, you're not leaving till I talk to him. And so she called him. And then within a few days, I was having my MRIs done. And then a couple of days after that, I got the phone call from my doctor. And I was actually taking a nap, and I woke up to his phone call. And he says, there's some lesions on your brain. It's suggesting multiple sclerosis. So, he said, let's get you to your neurologist. And so did that. And then, of course, I had more MRIs, and he confirmed it, that that's what it was. So this was within 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. You are young. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am 32. Yeah.
Wow. 32,
and you then, you said you were just formally diagnosed in November of 2021.
Yes.
Did you know anything about multiple sclerosis, or were you completely blindsided?
I knew about it a little bit because of, which probably segue into that, but because of the MS-150, the bike ride, so I knew a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I mean, I remember when I was diagnosed and a doctor said it looks like multiple sclerosis, I had no idea. I had nothing in my family. I've learned later that I did have family members, but I had no idea what that meant. And you had ridden in the MS-150s before, so you at least had some familiarity, but were you terrified when you were diagnosed?
Yes. I was like, what's my prognosis, and how long do I have? A side note is I actually haven't had it ridden before MS, so I hadn't even ridden the MS-150, but I had heard about it.
Okay.
As somebody newly diagnosed in 2021, now into 2022, What's your first step? I mean, we had no internet. I mean, and now there's so much. Where did you go? I mean, did it help that you knew of like the MS with the bike 150?
Well, I didn't know enough about it, but I knew a friend knew someone with MS and she said, hey, reach out to him. And I talked to him and he introduced me to the world, but he told me to be careful about the internet. So he said, just take your time with information and, really be careful that I don't freak out over so much, you know, just that there's such a spectrum that he didn't want me to kind of get scared. So, I eased into the internet when I was diagnosed. I didn't dive in. Yeah.
When you met with your neurologist and you got the diagnosis, did the doctor instantly talk to you about medication and treatment, or did you slowly learn about that?
He just straight said, you want this medicine, get on this one. Your insurance won't want to cover it, but keep fighting, fight for it. And that was a 2-month battle. So I learned a lot in that regard too. I was ready to start. I said, okay, the insurance won't cover it. That's fine. I will pay. He goes, okay, how much is this? He goes, it's your first infusion is going to be $65,000. I said, okay, wow. I don't have that.
And so being someone like Dan and I diagnosed so long ago, we know, like we back in the day, we had just ABC drugs. And now we know that the process is more where they want to start people when they're newly diagnosed. Doctors, neurologists want to start you on aggressive treatments and, you know, the best treatments possible. But I think, I don't know, does insurance or is it more limited where they want to start you with the less effective medications and your neurologist was like, no, we're bringing out the big stuff.
I think that's definitely it. It's like the insurance found reasons to decline it, because I got declined 2 or 3 times. And a friend of mine who works insurance, she said, they're just going through their protocol. Keep appealing it. Do the peer-to-peer review, which is when your doctor calls their doctor and they kind of like have their little fight or whatever. But it's like, I guess when you keep escalating it, I think eventually they kind of realize they're spending money on you declining this instead of just like giving you the medicine. Right. So it was a battle. And I called almost every other day, even though I knew it was declined, I would call and just pretend I didn't know. And I found two people who were just like angels, like guardian angels. And they said, hey, if you say this, we will rush it through. If you say this, tell your doctor to write this, we will, there's a better chance of you getting your medicine approved.
That is wonderful.
So, and just hearing this then, because, you know, I'm talking like when we were diagnosed and we had 3 drugs to choose from, and then now there's like 20 plus. Did that diagnosis or that quest to get treatment prescribed drugs, did that help to keep you centered on an objective rather than just saying, hey, you have MS and here's the whole world? But it's like, here, this is almost like you had the benefit of here. This is the one piece you need to focus on now. And in doing that, you're able to like dabble and learn more about the disease.
Yeah, I think because he, you know, very trusting of doctors. So because he said, this is the best one, it's like, well, I know I don't want to get worse. So I was like, yes, let's do the aggressive one. And he's like, this is the one that will allow you to still live a fairly normal life because you're having your infusions twice a year and you still get to travel and do your things. So that definitely helped. From November until January 20th, my objective was get this approved. And so that was my fight. Yeah.
And you did get it approved, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And now thank you. I don't want to delve too much into your personal life, but I'm going to because that's me. Mm-hmm. You had a job. You still are working, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, did this totally just upset your life? Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Or was it something that you were able to manage and just because you had that fight for the medication that gave you like central focus, or were you emotionally all over the place?
Well, I was all over the place, but I feel that I was kind of fortunate in, you know, my work transitioned from photography full time to editing full time. So I'm at home. I don't have to drive anywhere. Of course, I needed my sight. That wasn't working, but I didn't rely on like physical labor of carrying my equipment and stuff. But I still have my plan, but I have a plan. Like I didn't tell you guys, I was not even in my hometown when this started. I was in Houston, which is about 3 hours from San Antonio. I was spending time with my cousin. So I was going to be there. And then come January, I was ready to be on the market for a house. And then this happened. But I just feel fortunate, and I acknowledge that my life kind of transitioned into this world where it's kind of like MS friendly. So I'm grateful for that. But it just kind of seemed, or, you know.
Yeah, I often say that my MS diagnosis straightened out my life, where it's like all the non-essential bullcrap that you're worried about, where you're like, no, my health is the most important, my family, you know, my good friends. Did it straighten up your life like that? Or?
Yes. Yeah. It's hard not to sweat the small stuff, but I'm better at it. You know, and when it comes to healthcare or billing, that's hard. But for other stuff, it's easy to let go and just, it's like, it's not worth the cost of that energy.
And you had said that you were having problems with your eyes. Those problems, they went away now, is that correct?
Yeah, so I would say I'm about 95% back. It's there enough to where like I'm comfortable out doing stuff and driving, but I know when I'm tired, I can feel my eyes that they have to work a little harder than they should. So I know my limits, you know, and just kind of work around that.
Yeah. And your family, how have they been with your diagnosis and your support?
They've been great. You know, they're pretty scared too, but anything that I've needed, they've been there for me. This isn't my first neurological diagnosis, so I have epilepsy too. So right when I graduated college, I got diagnosed with epilepsy. So it's not the first time I've like had my life been in a tailspin.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Good heavens. So do you see a neurologist for epilepsy?
Yes, yes.
And do you see the same neurologist to treat your multiple sclerosis?
I used to. Now I have a specialist for MS, yeah.
Wow, so that's a lot on your shoulders. Just to have two diagnoses. Yeah. Wow. Wow. And you got involved pretty quickly with support groups, or did you reach out right away after your diagnosis?
Yeah, I joined some Facebook groups. And so a friend who I met through there recommended you guys through the ANCAN. So that's how I ended up here.
That's wild. I mean, it was kind of a, And I'm speaking for you, Dan, because you're not. But I think that we kind of all, the three of us, there was like an instant connection. And I think there's a kinship with the multiple sclerosis community. But that's one of the best things about this crappy disease is you get to meet the coolest people and you feel instantly bonded.
And how did you, I mean, and just talking about that in terms, you say like, you know, two different, like more like online support groups and stuff. How scary was that? I mean, or was that like an area of comfort where you went in? Because I was thinking back when we did, you know, when I went to my first MS group, I was scared, you know, I was scared of what I would see and who I would talk to, and would people be downers, would people be, you know, sugarcoating things, and just finding people who were real. How was that for you then? And was it easy to navigate that world to find the right group to go to?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult, especially as a newly diagnosed person, because you tend to feel like an outsider, you know, that's kind of normal. So it's tricky. It's hard to, because everyone's all at different stages. Everyone has different experiences, even though we have so much in common, you know. As someone that's newly diagnosed, I think it's easy to struggle with the thought that, well, what am I complaining about, or these kind of thoughts, because you're so new to it.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that didn't go away, but what has helped you cope with that? You know, those feelings, or, I mean, the online support groups, have you reached out in person support groups, or, I mean, do you have anything that you would recommend to a newly diagnosed person?
Yeah, so I haven't done in person yet. But what's helped me is I just have to, like, at times just accept it that I have MS. Because I will see myself and say, how can I be riding my bike and then have trouble walking around outside? Like, why am I so exhausted? All these thoughts, and then I just sit. And I'm like, I have multiple sclerosis. And that kind of helps me go a little easier on myself.
Yeah.
And it's just been a few days since you did do the bike 150. I mean, you did how many miles in 2 days?
Well, this one, it was right around 162 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Over 2 days.
Yeah.
So that's like 80 miles a day.
Well, this one, which I, it was, if you wanted to do the 150, you had to do 100 miles in day one, because the longest route on day two was 60 miles. So it was just an escalation of commitment. I didn't plan to ride the whole thing. But my teammates pulled me, and then actually on the second day, they said, we're doing the shorter route. And I was like, well, they're going to ride faster than I can ride. So if I'm going to ride by myself, I'm going to try for the long one. Wow. And my parents were following me, so I had my own support vehicle. If I needed anything to cool down, they were right behind me. And, that was my goal, was, okay, just hit 50 miles today. Then I hit it. I'm like, well, now I'm just 10 miles from the finish. I just was like, I knew there by choice, like, I'm not going to do this again. So I want to finish this. Yeah.
So that's some mental toughness. I mean, and I would imagine, how long have you been riding? I mean, did you ride before MS?
Yeah, so I started cycling in 2015. And then 2017, I got a road bike, and that's when the distance stuff started.
And just in thinking about this then, I mean, so this was, you know, September, October that you did this huge bike ride. And Louis, that's like less than a year after you were diagnosed. What made you, of all the things that you can, that a person with MS, newly diagnosed, why was this important for you to do now? Why, what made, because that, you know, we're sitting here even as somebody who, you know, I used to run, but I'm thinking, you know, I'd run like 5 miles and feel like a champion. I mean, you're talking 160, and it's just like, what made you think, yeah, I can do this and I want to do this?
Well, it's kind of a rite of passage, this ride, first riders. Like, everyone knows about it. It was something I had always, it was on a bucket list, but I never had gotten around to it. And it's like, you have MS. It's like, well, now what? It's like, I missed that opportunity. And so really my initial plan was do it on a stationary bike because my eyes aren't working. My balance is horrible. So I accepted that as my life. And so I was going to do the miles on a stationary bike. And then about a month and a half before my first one, which was in May, my vision started to get better. And so I started riding again. That was hard. I acknowledge how lucky I am that my symptoms went into remission a little bit to allow me to do that. But since I had the opportunity, it's like, I'm going to go for this. I've never in my life had the desire to ride more than 40 miles. Like after 25, it's not fun anymore. For me, after 30, it's not fun. But that's why, probably why I never did the MS-150. But then I got it. I'm like, well, now I don't want MS to like slam the door on this for me. Like I at least want it to do it once, you know, just... Yeah, I didn't want to feel like I missed that opportunity.
And now that you've done it once, I get the impression you're not itching to do it again, which I can understand because to me, 25 miles sounds like a chore, let alone, you know, 160. Do you have things that you want to accomplish or like little challenges for yourself now in the future?
I think, yeah, probably stretching my bounds a little bit. I went back to Houston a couple weeks ago, and so that's where my symptoms started. So it was kind of interesting to be there and to revisit that after my diagnosis. But it was my first road trip by myself, you know. It's 2.5 hours.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So just little things like that. When I got back, I was like, wow, I did this. And I had accepted and was planning to never drive again. So I think creating some kind of goal and doing something that you haven't done before your diagnosis is important because, it feels amazing when you do something new after your diagnosis because you feel like you're losing so much. And then when you can, I rode this with multiple sclerosis. I didn't do it before MS.
Right.
What does this do for you then as somebody living with MS? How big a part is this in your, I'd say, social world? I mean, because it's like, you know, as you're talking about employment in terms of like socially and making friends, dating and things. I mean, how challenging have those types of things been for you in 2022?
Well, it's definitely been challenging, but because it's a part of my everyday life, like down to the minute. It's just a part of me. So I try not to let it dictate or consume my life, but also it's there. So I like to incorporate it into whatever it is that I'm doing. I kind of like to be this image of someone with MS to show people you can still do things, you know? And I like to be very real and transparent that, yeah, I did this ride, but there was a big price to pay for it. The recovery and everything after that, you know, I still struggle daily, even though it may not look like it on Facebook.
Yeah. And that is one thing for someone who's newly diagnosed. You've touched on so many things, just having goals and keep moving and don't give up, or, you know, those sound like really good advice or important things to know. What medical support have you had, or what doctors are like, to get to where you are? Who's on your team?
Dr. Aaron Boster on YouTube. I love his videos. He's
yes.
He's a wonderful.
I wish he was my neurologist. He is so cool, and it's very neutral information, you know, not leaning too far one way or the other, very kind of open-ended, but just educational stuff that it's brought me a lot of peace that, you know, it's really cool to be able to have hours of content with the neurologist. You know, we see ours for 2 minutes.
And it's very approachable. It's very understandable. Dr. Boster gets it. So that's a really good. And then with that kind of content, you know, that the friend of yours that kind of encouraged you to stay away from the internet, and now you are comfortable with information, so that would be a good resource. And for a newly diagnosed person, would you tell someone who's newly diagnosed to stay away from the internet?
I would tell them to take your time. If you feel ready for it, then of course dive in, but just maybe take everything with a grain of salt, because there's so many different opinions on everything. So just if you need to just ease into it, I would take things, you know, I'd spend a couple minutes like, okay, that I need to take a break from this, because I kind of just want to just have a nice day, not feel scared or stressed.
Yeah. When I was newly diagnosed, I had the good fortune to speak with a therapist. Wasn't my personal therapist, but he spoke at a support group meeting that I attended. And he talked about when you first are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, it's like it's sitting shotgun to you in the car. Like it's right next to you. It's always with you. And eventually after you're diagnosed for a while, maybe you'll put them in the back seat. And your goal is to put multiple sclerosis in the trunk. And that visual of just like, get the guy in the trunk. You know, Louis, it's been almost 25 years and I still think about MS every day, of course. But I feel like that monster's kind of in the back seat, maybe a bit in the trunk. And for you, it sounds like you kind of have, do you feel that you have pretty good control over the disease, even though it's been less than a year?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still learning my limits. I'm still learning, you know, this was my first summer with MS. I'm going to experience a winter with it. I experienced travel with it. There's so many firsts, but I feel like I know right now enough to the point where I can navigate my life and do some things that I want to do.
That's awesome.
Because you've had some of the experiences and it's just like, okay, well, I can do this and it's similar to this, or I can step outside of my comfort zone today just to give it a shot, just to give it a, you know, just to try and see. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised now, Louie? I mean, thinking back, you were sleeping and got this word that it's like, oh, you have multiple sclerosis. Are you surprised at how well you've managed and made it this point?
Yes. Yeah.
What helped you to get there? I mean, what would you have had to have known then that would have given you the confidence to say, I'll be okay?
It's kind of funny because it kind of ties into my ideology of like writing. And I literally thought of this while I was writing, like the worst thing that you could do on a bike is look at the top of the hill. Cause there were so many hills. And if you saw the top of the hill, you were just toast. There was no one in front of me. I mean, I was looking a safe distance ahead, but I wouldn't look all the way to the top, and that helped me. So in that way, I think having a bunch of small goals would help. If I knew when I was diagnosed, if I knew that I was going to have this many doctors, this many different medicines, by now I would have probably given up.
But just don't look at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
we're gonna quote you on
I'm
that.
That's Louis.
Really, that's good advice. Wow. Yeah. Jeez.
As somebody who's diagnosed, you know, almost a year, do you feel that you, no matter how long you've lived with the disease, to some levels, you're always going to be newly diagnosed? I mean, life changes and there's so many new things that happen in life. You don't know how MS is going to play into those. It sounds like you still are navigating and it's like newly diagnosed because this is a new symptom. This is a new something. So, I mean, as two veterans, I don't think we were too far off in saying that.
No, not at all. And I mean, I listened to that podcast and it coincided with a new thing that started happening, which was kind of tremors in one arm. And that's something I'm navigating, you know. I'm going to see my neurologist in 2 weeks, so I'll tell her about it again. But that's the new thing. Just when I thought I had it all sorted, this started happening. Okay, well then, okay, now this is happening. So, okay, I've got this figured out. And then the next day, something else happens, you know? And then maybe that first issue I had has calmed down. So it's just so many things cycle, so many symptoms.
Yeah, it's a constant challenge. And it's always something, me personally, and I think Dan would agree, you think you have it. You've got it down, and then it's like, oh, no, you don't be arrogant. I've still got you. So, yeah, do you look towards your future? Like, are you excited or as you move forward, or do you just not look at the top of the hill?
Well, I mean, I have plans, but I try not to worry too much about how I'm going to get there. And also, you know, MS is just kind of my baseline now. So I don't really know much else as long as I don't focus too much on my life before. This is my normal now.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of already adjusted to it.
That's wonderful to hear that. That's like really good. I was diagnosed in November as well. So every November 14th, that's when I was diagnosed, I celebrate. It's like an anniversary. So you, on November 30th, have you thought about will you celebrate or will it just be like another day?
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. I know it will be heavy because there was talk about grief. It was hard to be revisiting the city that I was in. But I would like to turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel, and I don't know, Dan, I don't want to speak for you, but it's almost like a sense of accomplishment. Like when that anniversary comes up, it's like, take that MS. I lived with you for another year. You didn't get me. And so I hope for you that come November 30th, I realize that there's acceptance and there's grief and there's loss. But I hope that November 30th, you'll feel like, yeah, look at me. I did that. So, yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, Louie, in terms of talking about the ventures of being newly diagnosed with MS in 2021, 2022? I mean, as far as like tips that you would have to share with other people, if somebody came to you, said, Louie, I heard you on the podcast with Dan and Jennifer. What advice would you have for me to help me so that I can get through my first year? What's one thing beyond don't look at the top of the hill?
Okay. One thing that's pretty hard to narrow down, but let me see. I'm sorry. I needed a couple of seconds with this one.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It was.
And you can have more than one thing. We can have as many things as 10.
Okay. Well, I will say for medical wise, you're in charge. You know, doctors and nurses, they like to try to dictate things. And to this day, I still have to ask for what I want done. Maybe the doctor's office won't. This one may say, oh, we only do full MRIs once a year, not 6 months. I was like, well, I want it every 6 months because I want to know if something's going on. So definitely you're in charge of your medical care. And I'm trying not to sound cliche, but don't give in because you'll be told no a lot, especially from your insurance. But you can appeal and you can fight and you can find other ways to get where you need to go.
Right.
I like that, just that, especially that you're in charge.
Yes.
And don't give in.
Yeah. Okay, we promised we were not going to take all your evening, but we would be remiss if we didn't share moments of joy with you. Do you have a moment of joy in the last, you know, just some moment of joy you want to talk about?
Yeah. Which it was very short, but my moment of joy was at the ride. So they have, they have photos like with other MS riders. So, at the beginning of the ride, they kind of threw us together for a group picture and I didn't even really have time to talk to anybody, but it was so neat just to be in a group of people who have MS and kind of like you talk, we all know each other. And that was cool to just be in the presence of other people who have this and who get it. And that was mine. Like, I felt like they're my friends. I hadn't met anyone or known anyone or anything. And that was mine.
And that's beautiful. And not to be hokey, but it like brought tears to my eyes, because any of us that are living with MS, there's nearly a million of us. And it's like we have like this private club, like you're one of me. Let's hang. Like, I get you. So, okay. What about you, Dan Digman? Do you have a moment of joy this week?
My moment of joy was that I had my Ocrevus infusion yesterday, and just that I made it through it okay, you know, and just there was no hiccups, no challenges. And it helped then too, because I had a couple videos from Louis MS-150 to watch. It was just like inspiring, where you're just like, this is what we do. I think it is just that community that you have, and you're always cheering for each other. So that was my moment of joy.
That's nice.
How about you?
I had COVID. I was diagnosed 2 weeks ago. And this weekend, I smelled and tasted because I lost those. So my moment of joy, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing. I don't even really remember what it was. It was like orange juice or...
I think it was orange juice.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can taste this. And maybe that's one of the things about multiple sclerosis is you forget just the little things like how good you have it and to be grateful. So orange juice, that was my moment of joy. That was pretty amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, again, Louis Preciado. See, I got that right this time. But Louis, thank you so much for taking the time to join us in this conversation for this episode, just about your experiences as somebody who's newly diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Thank you for having me. Hi, you guys are very much mentors of mine, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you.
You're too nice.
Yeah, that's too kind. So thank you for saying that. And
so for this, the 40th episode, appreciate everybody taking the time to join us and check in with us. Give us your tips in like how you navigate the world of MS as a person who's newly diagnosed. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. Hi there, and welcome to this, the 40th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman. Let's start over.
Okay. Ryan will fix that.
Yep.